Hello and welcome to the Pueblo Star Sports Podcast. I'm Ben Kaysen here with my good friend Brandon Samora. Brandon, how are you?
I'm great, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Fantastic.
We're moving into the playoffs.
It's a great time. It is a great time, Ben. I can't get more excited when it's playoff basketball time.
And it's, you know, we got some Pueblo teams that can make a run. South has already clinched their spot in the Elite Eight as of this recording. Central's got a Sweet 16 matchup that's going to be tough, but I think they can get there as well. So what we want to do is focus on those teams today, talk a little playoff basketball, and then, of course, jump into kind of our star sports slate, some more Star of the Week. And then we have some more coverage on the wrestling state championships of last week. East won that tournament. And so we've got the Freemans coming in for that. So that's going to be a ton of fun. Yeah, Brandon, let's talk basketball first. So you were calling the South game, their Sweet 16 game against Vista Peak. So I'm just going to ask you straight up, how do you feel about this team entering these final eight games?
I think with South winning the way they did over Vista Peak, I think they could beat anyone in this tournament. Okay. I mean, this was a true David versus Goliath on paper. You know, obviously we know what South can do on the court, but on paper, so much discrepancy. I mean, statistically, this team was bigger. They were faster. Well, I wouldn't say they're faster. They were bigger, so much bigger than South. I mean, you have two guys on the floor in the starters for Vista Peak. I mean, two guys touching 6'4", 6'5". Wow. You got two guys coming off the bench at 6'4", and then there weren't actual numbers, but it was 6'6", 6'7", in that range. I mean, he towered above the starting big guys. So for South to overcome that, to overcome those teams that they slow the game down, they know exactly what South is going to do. They're just going to try and outrun you. And when they slow the game down and when South can beat teams at their own game, It's just the cherry on top. I mean, South was so good, Ben, and really just played a nice, tough game, mentally tough, physically tough. South can beat anyone in this tournament that's left, Ben.
There you go. And they've got a tough matchup this week. They're facing the number one seed in that tournament. So South is the 8 seed. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned they won that one 62-51. They also dismantled Denver North earlier in the week. I mean, that game was 69-28. So Shannon Lane's guys, we've got a lot going for them. What are some of the keys for you for this game against the number one team in all of 5A?
I think for South, really, they're going to have to stay out of foul trouble. It is their number one enemy. It's their kryptonite right now because the only size for South, and Marcus Moreta has gotten the starting role here through the playoffs just due to that size, but a fantastic player in his own right. But yeah, Mateo Esquivel and Marcus Moreta both didn't foul out on Saturday, but both of them had four, and that was sort of the waiting game for us calling it. It was about halfway through the fourth when they picked up both of those four fouls, and you know, they lose that size, that's it. There's no one on the bench to come in. They have they have Harlem Jones who can come in, but he doesn't really serve as much size. He doesn't have the height, but he brings that
scrappy.
That physicality in, but for them, it's going to be they're going to have to play smart, and they have to play within their own game, because Saturday was, I think it was the biggest test that South has had maybe since the state championship last year. I mean, there was jarring back and forth between both teams. You could tell that Vista Peak was really trying to get South off their game, and obviously South was trying to do the same against them and just being so undersized against them. But it's going to be the foul trouble of the big guys, because Moreta and Esquivel, they're the only size for South, and they're really going to have to play smart, good mental basketball. And that's what they did on Saturday. I think they can continue to do that through this playoff run, Ben.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough matchup that they're facing this week, because I think Air Academy is one of those teams that, you know, they're on an incredible run right now. They haven't lost a game since December. So they've not lost a game in the entire year. But here's the thing about those kind of games, right? A team like South, with how scrappy they are, and they have the star player, and man, if they get hot, they can shoot the lights out. It doesn't matter who they're playing if they can get that lead, right? So if they can hang in this game, punch them in the face early, you stay in the game and kind of surprise a team like this. Because Air Academy, I mean, that it's hard not to get a little entitled whenever you're playing in a really tough Pikes Peak league and you're playing undefeated basketball, you keep winning games. A team like South, you see these kind of upsets a lot in these tournaments. The ones don't always win these tournaments. It's not like football where you kind of have a dominant team that runs the table. With the tournament set up the way it is, I mean, the ball could bounce your way. So if you're South, I think the big thing that I want to, you know, give as a key is don't lose that hope during the game, especially if you start to get down. Don't lose that hope, because as this team starts coming back, you know, anything can happen. Playoff basketball, anything can happen. And I actually do think this is going to be a pretty even matchup. South is on a big win streak of their own. You know, we're talking about Air Academy and how great they've been. South is really coming to their own. They've dismantled some really good teams. So, yeah, when you're facing the Cadets, you've got a shot in this game. They deserve to be there. It's going to be a really intense game.
Yeah, and I think this matchup Saturday was what South needed. I mean, they sure they had that great win in the first round, but this test in the Sweet 16 at the Event Center was a great atmosphere too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were so many Pueblo fans there, and Vista Peak traveled quite a few fans too. I mean, there was mm-hmm. there was a lot of parents there. There was a lot of fans there behind us, and it was real funny because behind us at the scorers table, it was pretty much filled in on that side, and any call that would happen, mm-hmm. we would get either the booze to my right ear, or I'd hear the boos come in from my left ear, and it was a good atmosphere. The crowd was really good, and I think Saturday too, it was officiated. I think it was officiated really well because both teams really physical, and we know what South does. They play that physical ball, Mo driving the lane, and yeah, just getting in others' faces, and they really let them play. I think it was a well officiated game. I think. Good. Maybe ask a few South players. They say it might have went the other way, but I think it was a fair officiated game, and it was just a really, really good test for South. Really good, fair test, and I think they can beat anyone, Ben. This matchup against Air Academy is going to be really interesting because, especially if you win this, the thought in the Colts' mind and in everyone's mind is, okay, we can win this thing.
You took out the one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've taken out who people thought was the best team entering. So, yeah, I mean, it could be huge. It could really spring you for a championship. Then also you have to add in, I don't know if seeding matters too much at this point of it, but when an 8 beats a 1, the 8 basically takes the place of the 1. So they don't have to play a 2 or a 3, right? You just get a chance against a 4 or whoever else comes out of that. So, for the Colts, it's a weird start time. I want to make a mention of that because the game starts at 10:15 a.m. And when most of these playoff basketball games are at night. So they've been playing night games. Does this matter at all, do you think, in your head? How do you think Coach Lane's going to get her guys ready for a 10:15 start in Denver?
I think for South, they'll be fine. I think it's the drive, everything, and settle in. It's going to be big on that first quarter. I think they're going to have to settle in. They're going to have to play smart because even on Saturday, I mean, Mo was missing shots in the first half. You know, he didn't have a very well first half in Maurice Austin standards, but I think the Colts really just need to, find their groove, get a good warm up in, no matter how early they leave. They might even go up the night before. We'll have to see how the travel situation is for them, but just find that routine. And I think they're really good at that. And, especially going on the road, I think last year at the Coliseum, when we talked to him in the locker room, both before the championship game and the Final Four, even though it was a little later in the afternoon, I think the mindset of all those South kids is, they're just there to play. They're going to play their game. And I think if they carry that over, I think they'll be fine. But that 10:15 a.m. start time is a little funky.
Just strikes you a little weird, doesn't it? Yeah. But I'm sure it'll be a good game. That'll be a ton of fun. So hopefully Rev will be covering that game. So if they are, you can check out Rev89 on social media to see how to listen to that game. That one starts at 10:15 on Thursday. We've got another Pueblo team that's still in the playoffs as well. Pueblo Central, they're playing in the 4A bracket. So them and South could both hypothetically win a championship this year because they're in different brackets, basically. They passed their first test with flying colors. They played Middle Park. They won 94-47. And now they face Pagosa Springs at Pagosa Springs. That'll be Monday, so the day this comes out, at 5:30. So, Brandon, what are your early thoughts on that game, Pagosa versus Central?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how both these come out of this because we have a little bit of an extended rest period. Both these teams weren't anticipating it, but due to all our weather, it was pushed back. The first game was actually preemptively pushed back between Pagosa and Conservatory Green and then got pushed back again. And then now we're sitting here on Monday, but I mean, looking forward here, I don't think there's anyone really in this 4A bracket that can touch Central. Pagosa has they've got some good players, but I think Central, I said it last week, I'll continue to say it until it happens. They haven't lost to a 4A team this season. And the way that these young players for them stepped up, I mean, LaDamian Davis, the freshman, led the scoring on Wednesday night with 21. These young guys, sure, you're at home and in this, you know, comfortable atmosphere that you see every day, and on the road's a completely different story, but they settled in nicely for their first round. And I mean, they weren't scared. They were shooting with ease and it just looked comfortable out there for them. And if they can keep that same energy, I don't see anyone taking down this Central team, Ben. They just looked so good on Wednesday night.
That's a good point about the not losing anyone in their classifications. They play a lot of teams this year that have been 5A or higher.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting scheduling quirk. Yeah, I mean, this is a team that, like you said, I mean, they've got a lot of confidence right now. They play similarly really good defense. And when they shoot well, I think they could beat any team. Honestly, I think that this team is relying on their shooting a little bit, but they've got a puncher's chance in pretty much any game they're in. They should have a good shot against Pagosa, I feel like. How's that going to be going into Pagosa for a road playoff game? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's going to be different for a lot of these young players. And when you look at it and, you know, even the roster, what returned from last year, a lot of these guys haven't played a road playoff game. They haven't played in an atmosphere like this. You look at a lot of these young players that even the starters here, I mean, LaDainian Davis, Josh Sanchez, all of these younger guys that have come in, Luke Beltran, they haven't had to go on the road, long road trip like this and play in an atmosphere. And it's going to be interesting to see. And I'm sure Pagosa is going to pump it just because they've had a great season. I'm sure their support this season has been through the roof, and I'm sure they're going to have a great showing on Monday night. So Central is going to have to stay within themselves mentally. But even the games that Central's had this season where they've played those opponents to where, yeah, they might be outmatched a little bit on paper. Really, I don't know what it is with Central, but as long as they're not playing South, I think they always have a chance. And when it comes to South, I don't know what it does to the Wildcats and Coach Bobby Tyler, but the Wildcats have not been able to get, they've not been able to beat the South Colts. But if it's not the South Colts, they got a chance. They got a chance to win it. I just think there's too many good players on this team. And this has to be the deepest team going into the Elite Eight for 4A. I mean, this would be a team competing in 5A, I think, with the talent that they have. But
oh, yeah,
as great as the bench has been playing and as good as they played on Wednesday, I really think that the Central team, Ben, the biggest thing is just going to be that mental aspect going on the road.
It's also interesting that Pagosa, if you look at them as a team, they're kind of the flip of Central when it comes to their schedule. So Pagosa's 19-4. They've played a lot of games against 3A and 2A competition. So it's kind of a flip because Central, you'd mentioned, they've seen a lot of 5A teams. Yeah, I mean, you look at Pagosa Springs, their league, the Intermountain League, is between 4A and 3A. And so a few of these teams are playing in the 3A tournaments. A lot of kind of the smaller towns here in the South. So Honey, Salida, they played Delta this year. They played Durango twice. They had to play Alamosa twice, Del Norte, Monta Vista. And that's nothing against those schools. They've had some great teams at times. But you look at Central's schedule, they were like playing some of the best in 5A this season. And so I think that that might be an important storyline to keep up with this week against Pagosa Springs, that one of them has faced a lot of really tough competition. The other one kind of hasn't. So maybe you go, hey, Pagosa has something to prove. They come out a little sharper, but I think Central's got a good shot in this game.
Yeah, I think really the rankings, the 12 seed for Central, I think you can honestly just throw it all out, crumble it in a ball, throw it out the passenger window, just because I don't think that you really can on paper match up any of these teams with the Central team just because we haven't seen them play that 4A competition. And it's so crazy to think that, you know, you go out this whole season and, you know, the Central Wildcats only team in Pueblo in 4A. And I mean, just yet to lose to a 4A team. And I mean, with a majority of a schedule, when you're playing 5A schools,
it's mostly 5A.
Yeah, mostly 5A.
The entire league around them is 5A.
It's so crazy to think that, you know, they just happen to sneak into 4A. But I mean, it's in the hands here of Central, and I think the odds are in their favor. But Pagosa and all these teams left in the 4A bracket, I mean, these are teams that I don't think that we'd be talking about if we were in the classifications we were last year with all of our teams in 4A, because a lot of these teams in this 4A bracket were in 3A last year.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of these teams, it's new for them to have maybe a heightened atmosphere, maybe have that heightened pressure there, but it's going to be really interesting to see. This is going to be a good matchup.
That'll be fun. And that game is going to be on Monday. So Monday night at 5:30. And yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I am very optimistic for these two teams. I also want to mention, we mentioned County last week. They lost their first round playoff matchup, and Pueblo West girls basketball played a really good game. I'm a nerd for statistical odysseys, specifically look at this team. Like, they lost that game 35-26. So Pueblo West, we talked a lot about their defense on this show. They finished the season not giving up more than, I believe, 50 points in any game in the entire like second half. But they lost a defensive matchup in that one. But the fun, most interesting part about that is they lost 35-26, but their opponent had one player who put up 26 points. So it was like making up most of the scoring for that. But Pueblo West is out for them. Great season for them. The women's brackets are done for Pueblo. But the men, we've still got South boys going in 5A, Central boys going in 4A.
Yeah, and we do have to give the honorable mention to the Canyon City Tigers.
That's right.
We would have had, if Pueblo West would have upset the 3-seed Durango, we would have had an Elite Eight matchup between the Canyon City Tigers and the Pueblo West Cyclone girls in that 5A bracket.
That would have been fun.
That would have been awesome to see. Canyon City, if you haven't seen the video of their win over Frederick when everyone stormed the court, that was a fantastic atmosphere. Looked fantastic, and a great win for Canyon City, who hasn't had too much success in the postseason when it comes to basketball the last few years. So hats off to them. But what a matchup it would have been if we had the Cyclones and the Tigers in the Elite Eight. Plus, I mean, 11 and a 14 seed possible for that. Who would have thought that looking at the bracket a few weeks ago?
Man, I love March Madness kind of feel. That just getting me thinking of the big upsets we're going to see. My bracket's already busted. I haven't even made it yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same.
Oh, man. Well, that's super fun. Let's go ahead and move over to Samora Star of the Week. Brandon, who are you going to highlight this week?
You know, I never want to try and, you know, you never want to just give the MVP to the best player. You never want to give the MVP to Tom Brady. But Maurice Austin, the win on Saturday, it was all courtesy of him. And at 28 points, granted, he averages 27.5 a game. I always talk about that, you know, almost getting up there. No, he's got 28. But just a outstanding performance from Maurice Austin, a mentally tough performance from him, but official stat line for Mo was 28 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and he was also 10 for 11 from the charity stripe, from the free throw line. So just an outstanding performance from Mo, and we know what a great player he is, Gatorade Player of the Year nominee for this season. But I mean, Maurice Austin just had a great performance. The first half, too. The first half for Mo, it wasn't too good. He was taking a lot of contested shots. He wasn't making shots. He looked frustrated. He looked a little tired. There was a few inbounds where normally Mo's the one catching the ball, and Austin was on the baseline, you know, hands on the hips a little bit. You know, I'm not trying to dog you, Mo. I won't tell Perone, I promise. But he just looked a little tired, and I don't know what it was, but Shannon had to have said something to him. He came out in that second half, and he had that big grin that he gets, and you know, he's running up and down the floor. You can see he's talking to everyone on the floor. He's kind of toying with them, and just a great second half and a good rebound. I mean, 12 points in the first half for Mo. It's like, oh, well, that's what some kids average a game. But
yeah,
you know, Mo, just a fantastic game. Maurice Austin is going to be my star of the week for this week. Just a great performance in the second round of the playoffs.
And like you said, it says a lot about him when we're sitting here going 28. Yeah, well, he averaged 27. 28 points is a ton for a high school game, especially a high school playoff game.
It's so crazy to think that, you know, some of these guys, they come in and, you know, shoot, I'd be happy playing a high school game. I'd be happy 5 or 6. You know, I'd hit a few threes. Yeah. I'd be happy. But Maurice, I mean, just what he does on the basketball floor, he's a magician. I mean, and he makes everyone on that floor better. And I think the Colts, after playing with him for the 3 years that they've done, everyone just meshes so well together. And, you know, you'd expect the behind-the-back passes and the circus layups from Austin. But I think it bleeds over to everyone, too. I mean, Mateo Esquivel is one of those guys too, where he just, like, there's a few moments in a game where I think any South Colt on the floor, they do a play and it's like, oh, there's a little Austin in that. There's a little Austin in that. And it just kind of rubs off on everyone, Ben. And the culture around that basketball team at the moment is just so high, and it's just such a great time to watch them.
Well, that's super cool. And I'm excited to see how they do this weekend. And yeah, I mean, for these guys to get so close last year and now they're on this run again. I mean, like you said, you win this game against the one, Air Academy, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, really.
This team becomes a team that everyone goes, oh my gosh. They may already be doing that now, but that's going to be such a huge game coming up. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but
yeah,
the, you know, the the game guy and me, should we say, there's history.
Nothing to do with that. Yeah. We're not doing announcers jinxes, but yeah.
Hypothetically,
knocking on wood.
If South were to win, knock on wood, if South were to win against Air Academy, they have history of both teams that they would face in the Final Four. So they knocked out Frederick last year, who they saw in the Final Four. And then if Meade wins, so it's Frederick and Meade, the 4 and 5 seed. If Meade wins, Meade is who knocked them out 2 years ago, the COVID season, when the Final Four wasn't even at the Coliseum. So there's one that was Maurice's freshman year, and they lost a close one there to Meade. So history for the Colts if they move on to the Final Four.
That'd be a ton of fun. Yeah. I cannot wait. We're going to be your coverage spot for that. Also, check out Revenue 9 to see what games Brandon's calling, because he is a magician on that mic. So get a listen on that.
Try my best.
Sweet. So before we jump into the Star Sports slate, I want to give a little update on some RMAC Indoor Championship track and field. So the men's team finished third in that tournament here out of all the RMAC teams, which is really good. And the women finished sixth. Very solid performances from them. We got 5 RMAC gold medal performances out of CSU Pueblo. Specifically, I want to highlight Catherine Higgins. She took the gold in the shot put, 15.56 meters. That set the record for the school, for the facility, and for the RMAC as a whole. So what a throw for Catherine Higgins, and a ton of hard work to do that. And so she took the gold that she deserved for that. Nate Miller, he won the gold in the shot put. Helen Braybook took the gold in the 800 meter. Reese Sherman Noel also got the gold in the 800 meter for the men. And then the CSUP men's 4x400 meter team also took a gold. So incredibly good performance from the indoor track and field. It's only a few months till the big outdoor track and field tournament that will be happening here at CSU Pueblo as well. So we'll have a lot of coverage on that entering that, but very good performance from this team in the indoor.
Yeah. I love watching the coverage too of the indoor, all of the indoor, you know, championships, all the indoor meets, the atmospheres. It's so cool because everything is condensed and squeezed into that indoor facility. And it just seems like there's so much energy in it. Cause I feel like sometimes, you know, with the outdoor meets, everyone's a little spread out, you know, the throwers are over here, runners are here, you know, everyone's getting warmed up at other places, but the indoor meets, it's like everyone's in one place and
it's chaos.
It's a little loud in there. I love it. I've only been to a few, and I'd love to get to some more, but yeah, it's and a great performance here on top of it. I mean, the atmosphere, everything, the performance on top of it means everything, and the Thunder Wolves showed out. I mean, they feel like they always have a great showing in the indoor championships, and it always translates, you know, when we have those, you know, top 5, top 10 finishes, it always translates up to the outdoor season.
Oh yeah, I'm totally with you. So great sign for that, entering that. Also, before we kind of jump into the games coming up, I want to highlight some of the games that happened last week. We mentioned County and West basketball going out, but South and Pueblo Central are still in. So keep an eye out on that. And then the Pueblo Bulls, we talked about them. They had the losing streak going. They've broken the losing streak. They won 2 games in a row against Vernal. They're playing their third right now. And Vernal's had an incredibly good season as well. So it's like, maybe you're getting hot entering the playoffs. So we don't know yet for sure who they're going to play, or if they're going to be at home, or if they're going to be on the road. So keep an eye out on the Pueblo Bulls for that this upcoming weekend. I'm guessing those games will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They do have a playoff spot clinched. The thing is that they, you know, they have lost a lot of momentum in the second half, but maybe this is what it takes to spark them.
All you got to do is get there, Ben.
That's right.
All you got to do is get to that first round. And
record to 0-0 at that point.
Anyone could win. So I think end of the season like this, obviously, you know, you're thinking about that losing streak. And I don't think the Bulls are thinking about it too much, especially after a few wins here. But just wins like that, set the record straight. You know, let everyone know, okay, the Bulls, we're back. We're okay, we're back. You know, we were gone for a few weeks, but we're back here. We're ready for the playoffs. And I honestly, with the way that the Bulls play too, I think that losing streak, you can kind of toss it out when you go into the playoffs. I think the Bulls,
it's a lot of games in a season too. It's 55 games or something. So
and I think people are quick to forget too with the Bulls. I mean, this is a team of guys that are in college. I mean, these guys are young. They age out of being able to play in this league. So these are a lot of young guys. They're all working on their own mental game. They're all trying to prepare themselves for their next level.
A lot of them aren't from Pueblo, which is really interesting.
Yeah,
as a team, right? I mean, a lot of them come in, they stay with the host family, and they live here.
Yeah. I mean, most of them, and I think it's funny too, you know, you'll catch a few of them. There's been a few players in the past, you know, they've had some jobs downtown, and you go in and you're like, well, why is this Swedish man working at Coors Tavern downtown? Who is this guy? And I think it's so funny, just the integration of their culture, and Michelle Wells, who does a great job with her Bulls Eyes podcast. It seems that every other week there's a few Bulls players in here, and you know, it's always a toss up with what accents you're going to get when you're speaking to them. So the Bulls teams they're always full of characters, and every year you always get a few new ones that are always going to be those main guys. And the Bulls teams, no matter winning or losing, they're great to be around. I love all the players that, you know, we get in here on our Bulls team.
That's super cool. I'm with you on that. And yeah, so they'll be playing playoff hockey. They're either going to be a 3 seed or a 4 seed. It looks likely they'll be a 4 seed, but they think there still is a chance they end up as the 3. If they end up as the 3, they'll get to host Northern Colorado for the playoffs.
Ooh.
So they need some good things to happen today, from what I understand. They need to win, and then they need them to lose up in Northern Colorado. So keep an eye out for that. If not, they'll be going to Northern Colorado, which I guess isn't that far either if you want to make that travel. So go check out the Pueblo Bulls website if you want to follow their playoff journey. And let's hope that they can make a run. I would love to see it.
Oh, I'd love to see it too. The Bulls, the home games are unreal. Playoff games, unreal. Everything with the Bulls, I mean, the atmosphere, if you haven't been out, we've said it a few times, I'll say it again. If you haven't been out, got to get out there, see a Bulls game.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump into what's coming up this upcoming week. And we've got a lot of playoff basketball. We talked about it. South is playing on Thursday morning at 10:15 against Air Academy up in Denver. So keep an eye out on Rev 89 if they're going to be calling that. There's going to be some sort of coverage as well, probably on Chassa. So check that out. As we mentioned, South is going against the 1 seed in that side. That's going to be an incredible game. You've got to listen to that one or watch that one or find a way to see the score, because that's going to be a lot of fun and will tell us a lot about how good South can be for the rest of the run. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, this is the pinnacle of basketball. We are at the Elite Eight. All 8 teams there are the top 8 seeds, other than Longmont, who upset the 6th seed. And that 5A bracket is tough. That Elite Eight, I mean, that's the best of the best right there. So from here on out, the South Colts, they're going to have to earn those wins, but it'll be a fantastic game Thursday morning at 10:15, bright and early.
Bright and early, 10:15. Central's playing Tuesday at Pagosa. Keep an eye out for that one as well. That'll be coming, I believe, at 5:30 is what we said for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, so 5:30 for that. That's on Monday night, I believe. No.
Yeah, Monday night.
Monday night. Yeah, Monday night, not Tuesday night. Monday night at Pagosa to find out if they can be in the Elite Eight as well. So keep an eye out for that. That'll be another fun one. Then we got other playoff basketball. CSU Pueblo women's basketball did clinch their spot in the RMAC tournament. They'll be the 8th seed. They're playing at Regis as the number 1 seed. So big game. They lost earlier this week to them 66-46. But the thing is, this is a weird team for women's basketball. It's kind of been like win-win, loss-loss all year. They finished 14-14. You can get hot here. There's a lot of veterans on this club. Janiya Davis is playing maybe her last run with CSU Pueblo. Morgan Dial, Sharice Fairley, all these guys. They are a team that I think could be ripe for an upset here. I think they could pull off this game. You know, I was watching a little bit of the end of that game against Regis on Saturday. And at the end of the game, Sharice was kind of talking trash to these guys, to Regis, right? Regis is such a good team. They played really well all year, been really good in RMAC play. But something about CSU Pueblo and the scrappiness of that game got Regis off their game in a game that didn't matter for them. They didn't need it. But nonetheless, they were kind of fighting on the court. They were fired up at each other. That was this week. So they'll play again at Regis on Tuesday, and it's going to be a really fiery atmosphere.
Yeah, this is a Thunderwolves team. And I think if a few things go wrong for the other team and a few good breaks go in the way of the Thunderwolves, like you said, Ben, this is a team that they could win a game like that. They could do an upset like that, because especially here when you get to the college level, I think there's a little bit more of a discrepancy in high school when you have those 1 seeds that are, you know, they're playing the 30 seeds from, you know, the small town. They're playing these teams with the guys that are 6'5", 6'6". With the women's basketball team, they've been a little undersized this year, and, you know, they know that they don't play that game. And, you know, I think if the shots are falling, if they can get a few good breaks, I think this Thunderwolf team, they've got the experience. They've got the players this year that have been playing some great basketball. I think they could do it, Ben. I think they've had those chances. And like you said, they have those characters on the team, and they have those traits where this is a real fun team when you watch them. These Lady Thunderwolves, when they're out on the floor, they're having a good time and they play a nice breed of basketball. And I think a few things go right here in these RMAC games, and we've seen them make runs in the past. Oh, yeah. I think this is a team that could definitely do that.
Yeah, this is a team that's in the playoffs last year. Keep that in mind too, because they went all the way to the RMAC championship game and they lost up at, I believe it was UCCS that they lost that game. So this is a lot of players from that core are back. I mean, they've been dealt a little bit of a tough hand this year with a lot of the injuries, right? I mean, Amaya Lewis gets hurt. Roe Dominguez gets hurt. She blows out her ACL. Alicia Davis missed most of the season. But the players they have there still could make something happen. So I think that's a sneaky good game to keep an eye out on. That's Tuesday night. You can check out CSU Pueblo. That's GoThunderwolves.com to see how you can stream that. That's going to be a ton of fun, I think.
Yeah, that is going to be a great game, and it's going to be a good atmosphere up there, and I think it'll be a good test for the Thunderwolves. This is one of those games, too, like we talked about with South. If you knock out Regis, if you win this game for the Thunderwolves, they are going to have confidence like no other. And, I mean, it's going to be – everyone else is going to be on the chopping block, because if the Thunderwolves can take down Regis – they're going to be on championship watch for this.
They're the new one seed.
Yeah, right? Yeah. If they take down Regis, they're going to be on championship watch for this RMAC tournament. So this is obviously the biggest game for them to start this RMAC tournament. But if they can get it done, be watchful, because this is going to be a team that could be dangerous, especially if they get hot.
I've been waiting all season for them to play their best basketball. I mean, it's just, you know, I've been following them pretty closely. You know, they have these win streaks, then losing streaks, and it's back and forth and back and forth, back and forth. String a few great games together. Who knows what can happen? This team has this weird quirk this year, though. They're 11-4 at home, 3-9 on the road. So you have to play on the road. You're an 8 seed. That's something you got to get over if you want to make a run. Because if you lose, you're out. The men's team is out. The men's CSU Pueblo team did not make the tournament. The tournament's only the top 8 teams in the RMAC. So for the girls trying to represent, you know, you got to play well on the road, but if you play your best basketball, who knows?
Yeah, I think I agree, Ben. I think really they're going to have to shoot well, and they're going to have to find a way to rebound. They're kind of like South in the fact that, you know, they don't have too much size underneath the basket. They don't really play that post game. They got to find a way to get those scrappy rebounds. They got to get in there. They got to, you know, they got to get their elbows dirty. They got to roll their sleeves up. I think these Thunderwolves, and I believe they can do it, but they've got to get in there. They've got to out-rebound Regis. I think if they out-rebound Regis
has a lot of size.
Yeah. If they out-rebound Regis, I think they win this game.
There you go. I love to hear it. Good stuff, Brandon. Sweet. Well, now we're going to jump to our second part of the show. We're going to interview Tony Freeman and Sebastian Freeman. Brandon got to sit down with them this week. So let's go ahead and jump over there. Let's enjoy some wrestling talk.
Hello, friends, and welcome into Pueblo Star Sports. I'm Brandon, and we're here. We've been talking about wrestling, and we've got some wrestling history in the room, and it's going to be a fantastic interview. With me today, we've got Tony Freeman, Sebastian Freeman, member of the East High State Championship team, back-to-back 4A State Championship team, Sebastian, and Tony. I mean, I talk about you quite a bit. I mean, you're the overarching of the Freeman foursome that has run through Pueblo, run through East, and it's just so happy to have you guys here. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you.
So, obviously, I mean, top of mind here, the state championship just a few weeks ago, Sebastian, and not the individual finish that I would say that you wanted probably, but I mean, you guys finished out with a great team win, and those wins, and we can talk about, you know, your performance a little bit, those wins on the backside of the bracket for you, just as important as those wins on the, you know, as a state champion, those wins on the backside, those are the wins that really make a state championship team come together. And I mean, your performance at state, four placing finishes at state, you didn't come away with the state champion, but I mean, Sebastian, what a career you had, young man, as a wrestler over at East High School.
Thank you.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, the finish you had this season, you had the two wins in the first half of the bracket. And, you know, then you had that loss in the third round. I mean, how was that loss to you? How is your mental state, you know, going from that loss to, okay, now I got to, you know, pull these wins together for that third place finish. How was that place for you going into those matches, you know, on Saturday?
It was definitely hard thinking like, shoot, I'm not going to win state. And then I was like, well, I had a moment like 10 minutes after the match. I was like, this sucks. but then after that, I kind of turned off the feelings because I was like, we have to win it as a team now. So I took that as the time where I had to show up for the team and push away my feelings for a little while to help everybody else out.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that, you know, someone can come to terms with is that human element that, you know, you have to just sit there and realize, you know, man, like we didn't win. Like I didn't win this match. And, you know, I won't have the chance to win a state championship, but I mean, you pulled it together, got that, those two big wins on the backside of the bracket and that third place finish for you. I mean, four state place finishes. And, I mean, you guys still came away with the back-to-back team championships. I mean, how is that feeling, you know, knowing that you guys are the back-to-back 4A wrestling state champions against a field that has been huge? I mean, how is that feeling, you know, as a team getting that victory?
That was awesome. I felt this year it was better than last year. Everything felt bigger, and winning it this year just like kind of solidified the legacy of my class at least, and just showed that we were here and stayed on top, which was really big.
Yeah. And I mean, if you haven't seen the or heard of the East Championship history, first, are you living under a rock? Because this East team and the teams that have come through East, the runner-up in 2018, the championship in 2019, then runners-up again in 2020, and then the win in 2022, and now the win in 2023. Tony, you've been here for it all. I mean, through all the Freemans, through Zion, Xavier, Sebastian, now Justice as a freshman. I mean, you've watched this dynasty go through East, and I'm sure it's exciting for you as a parent and as a coach.
Yeah, it's like a legacy. It's been so awesome. You know, when Zion was a senior and Xavier was a freshman, you had two of them won the same championship team. And then when Xavier was a senior and Sebastian was a junior, you know, boom, we had two of them. So they got the, then this year, you know, I think, like you said, with us battling on the backside, and when we lost in 2018, when we took second to Windsor by a half a point and we had that big lead, and then Windsor came all the way back and beat. So I was like trying to get in everybody's ear going like, hey, we do not let up. We don't take our foot off the gas. And, you know, we went 20 out of 22 on the backside of the bracket. You know, that's amazing, you know? And so, and then now Sebastian being a senior and Jess being a freshman, another twosome being able to be there, you know, it's been amazing.
It's been so much fun to watch you guys. And really, I mean, through this East dynasty that has come through, and I mean, finishing off here with your class, Sebastian, I mean, back to back, I mean, people always talk about, you know, it was the football for a few years. I mean, winning the three in a row. And I mean, that's hard enough to do. And I think in wrestling, with as many different caveats going on with the backside wins, with the state champions, and like you said, the legacy of your class, this Eagle dynasty of wrestling, it is just, it's one of those things that we're going to look back on in 20 years. And I think it's just going to be one of those historic things here in Pueblo. And Sebastian, I mean, what a career you had here as the team state champions, as, you know, finishing up top, and next season going to Trinidad State as well. You'll be continuing that wrestling career. How excited are you to be competing at the collegiate level next season?
Next year, I'm very excited. Continuing in college, I feel like I have a lot of things I haven't finished. Not winning a state title, I feel like, has driven me to be like more active and be ready to go, because now I have a new goal to win a national title, and that's what I have to focus on now. So that's It's where I am.
Yeah. And wrestling, I mean, it's one of those sports where, you know, you can beat the number one guy all season and then, you know, it comes down to that last match and there's so many different variables. So best of luck to you as you travel on in your collegiate career, my friend. And that's going to be exciting to watch as well. And Tony, I mean, another Freeman competing at the collegiate level, huh? How does that feel for you?
I'm very happy. You know, it's kind of crazy because like Sebastian touched on it. I'm coaching with all those years in college. It's almost like the guys who win state aren't the ones who flourish in college. It's always the ones who still have something to prove. You know, you win state, they almost come into college and I'm satisfied. But the other ones, they're still hungry. They're, you know, like look at Aiden Valdez, you know, he 3-time runner up, but now he's qualified for nationals, you know? And I could see that type of, you know, special with John Lewis. He's a really good inspirational kind of coach. I think that Sebastian's going to flourish under him.
Yeah. And John Lewis, the coach of Trinidad State and someone that you're very familiar with, Tony. And I mean, the full circle moments for you, they just keep coming here with Coach Lewis at Trinidad State. And you coached him. And I mean, that's just going to be exciting. I mean, and obviously for you too, as a parent, you know that Sebastian's going to be in good hands with John over at Trinidad State.
Oh, for sure. You know, as a parent, you get nervous wanting to send your kids. So to me, being a coach and also being a person who wrestled in college and stuff like that and succeeded, you know, Doug Moses was like a father figure to me. I wanted my kids to go to places where I trusted that coach, where I felt comfortable with the coach, where I know that they're going to nurture them. And so yeah, I'm excited for his future. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously you had Zion coming up here, same age as me. I mean, I feel like I grew up with you guys, growing up with Zion in my same class and having Xavier right behind and now Sebastian and Justice. And Zion came up here, wrestled with one of your former teammates, Dax Charles. And Dax, I mean, great guy and a fantastic coach up here at CSU Pueblo. Tony, you were a part of that team for CSU Pueblo, then USC, one of the best wrestling teams that the university has ever had, that 1990-91 season where you took second. And really, I mean, that team inducted into the Thunderwolves Hall of Fame. And you've definitely got some good guys in your corner here with those former teammates of that 90-91 team.
Oh, yeah. You know, even Andy Pfeiffer, one of my teammates, he was honored at state this last, you know, last weekend or whatever. It's awesome because you see throughout the state how many of the Moses wrestlers are coaches all over the state. You know, it's just a legacy that he left. And I don't know. I love it.
Yeah, it is so crazy to see the connections that wrestling can make, you know, across the nation, but here in Pueblo and here in Southern Colorado. I mean, you came here to USC to wrestle, and I mean, you had a fantastic career, Tony, and then, you know, turned it into a great, you know, coaching career with your boys coming through. And I can't imagine how proud you are of all your boys and obviously Justice, still some years to go at East, but I mean the legacy that the Freemans have left here on Pueblo in Southern Colorado. I don't know if there's many that can match the Freeman force. I love calling you guys that too. You guys are awesome, man. I love it. And Tony, I just think coming here to Pueblo, what was that decision like coming here to USC back in the day from New Mexico? How was that here coming to Pueblo for you and getting involved with the USC Indians?
Well, that was interesting because I was supposed to go to UNM, you know, D1, and went to the recruiting trip and everything. Then Moses like swung in like at the last moment and knocked on my door and took me to McDonald's and we talked and it was just funny. And we just for breakfast and we just talked. And I was like, I just felt more at home with him. And he's like, oh yeah, we got this guy, you know, his name's Chuck Pfeiffer. He's going for his third national title. And I'm over here. I've been beating everybody's But for I want to find somebody who's going to push me. And then I came up here and then Chuck pushed me big time and showed me what that next level of wrestling was. And it's awesome because those seeds are what helped me train, you know, because I train kids in my Freeman's garage and stuff like that. And I just enjoy helping the community. I want to help. Pueblo has opened their arms to me, you know, back in, let's see, I came in 88, 89 season. And ever since then, I try to give back to the community.
Yeah. And that's awesome, Tony. I love it. And really, that culture, it's not even, you know, it's not a team sport. It's nothing like that for you guys. I feel like it's truly a family, you know, no matter blood or any relation like that, it's family for you guys. And it's so awesome to see. And, if anyone doesn't already follow you on Facebook, Tony, I would encourage you, if you'd like to follow wrestling here in Southern Colorado, to get on Mr. Tony Freeman's Facebook page. It's just so much fun to watch, Tony. Even if I can't make it out to the duels, I always catch up and see all the pictures, the photos, the updates. I mean, you're my guy through football on the road. I'll be texting you through wrestling season. But Tony, you, I think it's just kind of transcended into something more than, you know, something more than that. And it's just so much fun to watch. And, I just love following along with you guys. It's just been such a fantastic time. And, it's just been so much fun. And Tony, throughout this career and throughout, you know, all the boys coming through East and Justice finishing up, and one of those things, and what's going to happen when Justice is done from East, and, you know, the Freemans are, they'll be out of East, but, you know, what's going to happen, you know, in the next 3 years? It feels like you guys have just been there forever.
Yeah, we have been for a minute, you know what I mean? Let's see. I'm just, you know, I've already kind of, you know, started to think about it. I'll go back to what I was doing before the kids got to high school, mm-hmm. and training the kids, and in a way it's more freeing, because then I can coach kids from all over town, even though mm-hmm. some people get really territorial. Oh, you helped this guy from this school. But I don't care. I just try to help as many kids as possible. You know, that's always been my goal. It's just, if there's a kid that's hungry, that wants to get better, I want that kid. You know, I want to try to help make them as good as possible.
Yeah. And you definitely have the knowledge to do that, I would say. So Sebastian, throughout this season, throughout your 4 years wrestling at East, do you have a match that sticks out to you? You know, one that, you know, maybe you won, maybe you lost. Do you have one that maybe sticks out to you, or maybe an opponent, a reoccurring opponent that sticks out to you through your time that really sticks with you? I see you kind of grinning there. You got to be thinking of something. What's that opponent or that match for you that really sticks out in your high school career?
So the person is, like, he was from Canyon City. His name was Xavier Ortega. Throughout freshman and sophomore year, I wrestled him 4-5 times. I don't really remember. Every time was like close, really close. And the match out of all of them that I remember the most was my sophomore season regional finals match. And that match, I wasn't wrestling so good. So I was losing with like 15 seconds by 2 points at one point. And then I got, I don't really remember the, points, but I know I was down by one with 9 seconds, I think. And then I did like some weird roll thing, kicked my feet up in the air, hit a switch, and then I got a reversal with like 1 second left. And that's how I won the regional finals my sophomore year. And that was probably the most crazy match I've had in high school.
And I love, as you're describing that, Tony, you're just, I can see you just replaying it in your head too, along with Sebastian. And I mean, I can't imagine that you have like just so many of those matches that, you know, they play out in your head, and then, you know, they play out in your dad's head. They I bet they either play out sometimes exactly the same, and then sometimes a lot different in your head, Tony. How does that translate from your perspective? I mean, seeing, you know, Sebastian or any of your kids go through a match like that, and then you watching, how does that, you know, after the fact, how do you guys break it down and sort of attack that to move forward? How does that go through in your head?
Well, if anybody knows me, I watch videos over and over, and then I replay it, and I try to, you know, from being an old wrestler and also coach, try to figure out what we could have done differently to to not be in that a close of match and stuff like that. But like he said about Xavier, that kid, he wrestled him his freshman year and sophomore year for third and fourth state. You know what I mean? Every match.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So they were always close matches. They wrestled five times, and that was Xavier's one time where he was doing everything right in his grandfather was down, and everybody was so fired up. And then when Sebastian hit that switch at the very last seconds, you just felt like the excitement of one side and then the deflation of the other. You know, so then when he wrestled for third and fourth, it was like it was a lot easier of a match. but like I said, you know, it's fun. I love watching the boys compete because, you know, I guess, okay, like what you were saying about with the football earlier about how we won those championships. And then you get like almost spoiled and you go, okay, yeah, it's going to happen every year. And then then when it doesn't happen, you go, okay, now if this wrestling, I'm trying to soak it all up and say, hey, don't take it for granted because, you know, a back-to-back might not ever happen again. You know, hopefully it will and whatever, but, you know, you just want to enjoy and savor. Savor, yeah. You know,
and it's so hard at times to, you know, stand there and be in that moment and to think about it like that, because all you're thinking about in that moment is, oh my God, we just won state, we just won back to back.
Yes.
And so that perspective, Tony, I think really, I mean, that's something that I think everyone, you know, everyone on the planet could benefit from, just taking that step back and, you know, seeing the good times as they are and saying like, wow, like back to back state championship teams, like you said, it could never happen again, but hopefully it does. Hopefully it does for East and for Pueblo. Yeah. But one of those things that, you know, it'll always be there in those history books. And so from your perspective as a coach, you know, as a parent going through all this, and as a former wrestler, how do you think wrestling has changed, you know, since you were learning, since you were wrestling up until now? Because wrestling is one of those things where, you know, ESPN, they talk about how basketball's changed every day. They talk about how baseball's changed every day. They talk about how football's changed. How has wrestling changed throughout the years and from your perspective?
I think it's continued to evolve. When he was an eighth grader, I didn't go to East Invite. I went to Virginia Beach Christmas duels, and there were kids from all over the nation. And there's probably 20 mats going on, and you started looking at these kids. They're like, these kids are wrestling like good high school wrestlers or even lower level college wrestlers at this age. When I was a kid, you know, I mean, you know, middle school, how they roll around, then high school, they got better. And in college, it was really good. But now there's video tutorials on YouTube, and there's just way more education going on. So it just keeps evolving. So every time wrestling, you know, I remember even when I was wrestling in college, every year I'd kind of tweak my style a little bit more because I knew that people would adjust to my style. So I'd have to adjust. But now it's just like, just logarithmic, you know, exponentially just increasing, you know, the knowledge. Mm-hmm. So many, you know, kids. So in a way, it's also harder to start late. That's one thing I've noticed, that you can't just jump. I mean, when a kid can make it to the podium and who starts as a freshman, that could happen easier back when I was younger than now. Because there's just, you know, we got kids like Sebastian. How many years have you wrestled now?
I think this is 10.
Yeah, 10 years of just, you know, reading a book over and over and learn new books for 10 years. And then you got another kid comes in like, hey, I just got
page one.
Yeah. Page one. You know, it's just, yeah, that's where I've seen the change.
But yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, those changes, they happen in everything, but wrestling is one of those things that isn't too widely covered out of the wrestling circles. It's one of those things where you sit there and you diagnose everything, and it's just, it's such a, you know, meticulous sport. Everything is so thought out. Everything is so, you know, everything is so, I'm trying to think of the word, just so direct with your actions and everything. Mm-hmm. It's really exciting to watch, you know, everyone go and watch those wrestlers, because wrestling is that sport where, you know, sometimes in football you have those guys who, this guy's in seventh grade, you know, this guy's going to be a national champion, this guy is good, but mm-hmm. you know, those guys always don't pan out. But I remember vividly, and I spoke about this last week on our podcast, that, you know, I was 20, I believe it was 2018 or 2019, and Aiden Valdez walked into the gym that I was working at, and he walks in with Weston Dalton as an eighth grader, and he goes, Brandon, this guy's going to be a four-time state champion. This guy's going to, and I'm looking at Wes and it's just this little guy, little eighth grader. And I'm like, oh, okay, awesome. Great to meet you, man. Great to meet you. And then, you know, you see those wins pile up. And I think that was my thing with you, Sebastian, is, you know, I grew up with Zion, you know, I grew up with Tony, you know, always there with the East games, you know, back at Belmont Elementary, back at those games. Wow. Yeah. And I always saw like you, Xavier, Justice as those guys. It's like, all right, you know, Zion's little brothers, they're going to, you know, they'll be wrestlers too. And I mean, you guys are just so amazing on the mat, and you know what you guys have done, the legacy, it's almost like indescribable seeing what you guys have done. And can you even put into words, you know, what these last 4 years have meant with you, you know, wrestling with your brothers, going from Xavier to Justice now, just how has that been for you as a senior now?
It's kind of surreal because like at the beginning, in like early days before high school, me and Xavier were always super close all the time. So then whenever we were in high school together, finally is like, wow, this is how I like it. I like it like this. And you just see like everything happen. And following Zion after he won his state title kind of felt like, okay, this is where we are. We have to do this too. So you just build on your legacy. And then with Justice, it was kind of a switch because me and Xavier were always super close. And I feel like me and Justice this year have kind of became closer because he kind of asked me more questions. He's like, oh, how do you do this in high school? What's going on? And I'm like, oh, okay. So I've been able to be hopefully helpful to him. I've tried to be kind of like a role model for him to see, okay, this is how I should go through high school and do everything. And I feel like he will continue to build onto the great legacy and just be great himself.
Yeah. And so now through the hierarchy of everything, so Zion went through, Xavier went through, now you went through, and Justice, I mean, he's got all that knowledge. If he doesn't win a few state champions, I mean, come on, guy.
I know. Yes.
But it's been so much fun watching you guys. Thanks so much today for joining me and for sharing your story, sharing your time with me. It's just so much fun and even more fun that it's you guys. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
Well, one, thank you for inviting us, and thanks putting the spotlight on the sport of wrestling. You know, I always like to look at it as it's a physical chess match. And you mentioned some of those things, and that's, you know, I really do. I'm grateful whenever people do showcase wrestling because we work really hard. And I think I wish that every wrestler, for all the work that they put in, got as much, you know, acknowledgement. So I really do appreciate you inviting us.
Oh, well, no problem, guys. And I appreciate you guys for all you do for wrestling here in Pueblo and winning that state championship, Sebastian. I mean, hats off. Two-time state champion, the East Eagles, 22 and 23, back-to-back, and heading on to Trinidad State for your collegiate career next year. Best of luck for that next year, Sebastian. And thank you guys for joining me today. And for Pueblo Star Sports, we'll send it back to the show.
All right. Thank you so much, Brandon, for interviewing those guys. And thanks to Tony and Sebastian for coming in. What were your thoughts from that interview?
It was so much fun, Ben. And I've talked with you a few times, and, you know, even last week when we were getting ready to put this interview together, I grew up with Zion, the oldest of the four Freeman boys. And, you know, I've known him my whole life. I went to East, and the success they've had is with this East wrestling dynasty that I would call it now. I mean, you have two runner-ups, three state championships back-to-back in 2022 and 2023. This is a dynasty for them. And this was one of those teams where they have quite a few seniors that are going to be leaving. And this class that Sebastian was a part of, Sebastian, the senior this season, I think it was just, you know, it was a great season for them. Obviously, the end of a storybook career for Sebastian. He never got the state championship, but he finished third, second, third at state. So we had a
huge
really
parts
good
of championship runs, right?
Huge, for the team. Yeah, especially for wrestling, for people who, you know, may not follow it as close as others. You know, those wins on the backside of the bracket, because the way that Sebastian's bracket played out, he went win, loss in the third round, and then he won two on the backside to get that third place finish this year. And those wins, half the time those wins on the backside are even more important than the championships that some of the guys get on the, you know, on the main side of the bracket. And for Sebastian and this core group of Eagles, there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of eggs in the basket here for them, and they had a great season. And it was great to talk to Tony as well. I mean, Tony, the father of all four Freemans, a wrestler here at CSU Pueblo, wrestled with Dax Charles, an assistant coach on the CSU Pueblo team now. And Tony's just a fantastic personality. I talked about it a few times in the interview. If you're not friends with Tony on Facebook, you gotta friend Tony on Facebook, because you will feel like you are at every wrestling duel. You'll feel like you are at every tournament. He posts so many pictures. He's great with giving the updates. I love Tony so much. He's a great interview with two great Pueblo guys.
Great stuff, Brandon. Thank you so much for having them on, and thanks to you guys for coming, for Tony and Sebastian. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the Pueblo Star Sports Podcast. This is brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. And we've got other podcasts by the PSJ. Go check them out. They're called Voices of Pueblo. You can find it right here on whatever podcast platform you're on. We've got new stuff coming out, so keep an eye out this week for a big podcast about hypnotism and Pueblo mystery stories. Ooh. So that's going to be a ton of fun. And also keep an eye out for the print edition, which will be coming out this first Friday of the month as well. Brandon, thank you so much for joining me. Great stuff. I hope Pueblo wins some 8-versus-1 games this week. We got two of them on the slate. Keep an eye out for playoff basketball, and we'll be back right here next Monday to wrap it all up once again. For Ben Kaysen and Brandon Samora, have a great rest of your week.